Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
I'm going to be honest with you guys, all right? This is going to sound kind of crazy. I feel like everybody that's on social media is relatively kind of insane.
Whoa.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection Podcast.
You could have said it too.
You know, I didn't want to intrude, you know?
No, that's the thing. When our guests come on, they're supposed to feel like they're part of the family.
Exactly. So they just...
Cousin
Connection
Podcast.
There you go.
And that third voice you're hearing today is none other than one of the OGs, someone we've known since, you know, he's been a little wee boy.
Wee little boy.
It's Sebri. I don't know if I'm going to say the whole name. I'm just going to say Sebri today.
Do you want your whole govy out there?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. Sebri Shafi.
What's going on, guys? Nice to meet you.
Actually, you technically do go. Oh, no. Yeah, that's the one.
I think
he can't hear that.
Yeah, it's cheering.
Yeah, but it was laughing at first.
Sorry.
You got it. It's okay.
It's okay.
But yeah, so today we have another special guest. What are your other titles? We got personal trainer, a.k.a. bodybuilder, a.k.a. YouTuber,
a.k.a. podcaster,
a.k.a. ex-football player,
a.k.a. cameraman.
Yeah, a.k.a. cameraman.
A.k.a.
You know what they say?
What?
A jack of all trades.
Master of none.
But you are the exception here.
Yeah. Wow, that's a compliment.
You know, when a lot of people do ask me what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm. What do you say?
I just say whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You want me to do something? I'll try.
Honestly, as someone who's been following you for a long time, that seems to be the case.
Whatever it takes. You know?
But yeah.
Honestly, it's a cool journey to have a lot of skills. You know, mm-hmm. Even when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be like a carpenter or something.
Okay.
You know?
Still could be.
I don't think so.
Still young.
I don't think so.
You're still young. You have time.
Yeah.
I was talking about a kid. Because my dad was like in construction.
Okay.
You
know, he did like that type of stuff. And I used to help him. He used to try to do like DIY projects in our crib.
Oh, cute. Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's every dad though.
Yeah, because you got to experiment at home. If you mess it up, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. No, but he always messed it up.
Wow.
So, you know, I was just like, maybe I'll become the carpenter to help you.
It's like half the faucets in the house don't work.
I could fix it.
You know, all the doors are creaking.
I swear. Yeah, I'm not even trying to show shade to my dad, but you know, mm-hmm. shout out to him. But when I was a kid, I thought I was gonna do a lot of different things. I had a lot of different phases.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, and shout out to my parents. They always gave me the fortitude to try things.
That's good.
They were never really on my neck. Mm-hmm. And that comes from being the youngest sibling.
For real though.
I promise you.
You can't relate.
Yeah. I can't at all.
You can't relate.
I only benefited from that once they realized I was a lost cause.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm playing.
Self-deprecating like that in the end.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm joking.
Are those tears in your eyes?
No.
Okay. Let me hold your hand.
Shut up.
Man, I might shed a tear with you.
Okay.
You know, but being a younger sibling, it's interesting because you get to see everybody like grow, mm-hmm. and you get to like take the best and the bad from everybody.
Yeah,
you know, I've definitely done some things that like my brothers would never get away with, mm-hmm. but also I've seen things they did go, oh crap, I don't want to do that.
Hey, you're learning from their mistakes at least.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. You know? That's true.
You would know. You have an older brother.
Yeah,
you know.
No, but like my older brother, he's an anomaly. He's kind of like. You guys saw. Okay, his name is also Sebri.
Shout
out to my twin.
Yeah, not confusing at all, guys.
Not confusing at all, but, you know, Sebri, my brother, was kind of a goody two-shoes, as you guys heard. Mm-hmm. But in the best way, mashallah, allahumma barik. Like, he paved the way. I didn't follow it. And I turned out all right.
Yeah. And for the most part.
Wait, what did you mean by that?
I'm playing.
Shots fired. Like, what?
No, literally.
No, I have
we
to.
We grew up
I
together, to. Amir. We walked the same path. So
I
if
know.
I turned out funny, so did you.
I didn't say I didn't.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, you're the older sibling. What is it like being an older sibling? You know, like having to like pave that way and like also like, you know,
honestly
taking everything from the parents.
I feel like it didn't have a lot of pressure as a kid. Maybe because I just was unaware of the pressure a lot of the times. And it kind of helped because she had, we were so close as a family, especially like Sara, Sebri, and I. Mm-hmm. And of course Aisha out there. But I'm playing. But we were so close that like Sebi kind of like became that default older brother.
Yep.
He kind of took that, like
he high key took the burden of being the older sibling for like all of our first cousins on either side.
Yeah.
So like, sorry Sebri, the pressure was really on for you.
Yeah. And like I was kind of following the path to the T, like of what you should be doing. Like I was going to school, I was getting the grades I needed, I was getting into university.
You got the job.
I got the job. Like, okay, our university, there might've been a few obstacles there, but we made it out. Mm-hmm. I got a job, right? Okay. And then, you know, I started working that job, started making some money. So I kind of did follow, it didn't go exactly as planned, but it did end up going where I wanted it to go anyways, right?
Listen, so, it's not about the journey. I mean, no, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Exactly.
And you had a couple detours.
Yeah.
But you still made it in the end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, now we're teaching people from our experiences and all our mistakes.
And that's life. That's the meaning of life. Right? Mm-hmm. The ups and the downs. Too many people think that there's straight ups.
Yeah.
That's a fairy tale or fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no such thing.
I mean, unless social media for that one.
100%. Mm-hmm. Social media is demoralizing to the masses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was going to say, you people like Omar, seeing you guys when I was a kid, and a little bit of my brother, but that was a little bit later. You guys were the first like hardy guys that I seen in the gym.
Really?
I swear to God. You know?
Yeah.
And obviously, like when I was a kid, like I was like bigger than everybody.
Yeah,
whatever.
And you were in sports already too, right?
And I was playing sports.
Yeah. But
it was different than being in the gym. So I was just like going around practicing, playing football, like, playing basketball. But then, like the first time like I seen like a hardy dude like deadlifting was you.
Really? I didn't even know that.
I promise you. This is like 2000. This is LA Fitness like 2013.
I think I posted like one video.
No, but I was in the gym with you.
Your brothers were there.
All my brothers were there. But like to see someone like lifting like four plates and like a little, I'm like, yo, what the hell? And it's a hurry dude too. You don't be seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just like, maybe I got a little potential.
Because our genetics, I know I say, people always blame genetics and stuff, but I feel like the Hararis, we kind of, you know, we didn't get the best genetics when it comes to bodybuilding and like working out physique wise. So it can be demoralizing sometimes.
We're soft bodied, you know what it is?
Yeah. Soft bodies. But we're here to prove that we can still overcome that.
Warriors,
you know? Exactly.
I mean, like we are warriors.
Yeah.
Like if you think about like our history, like Ethiopian people have been warriors.
Even our cultural practices, like a lot of things we do, they like the fact that we don't have a spear and a shield in our hand kind of makes it look less like a warrior dance. But like some of the things we have in our culture are related to things that were like preparing us for war or like surround around, you know.
Really?
Yeah, like the chuff chuff.
No,
it wasn't prep, but like the things they would initially hold in their hands a lot of times were like you've seen it.
Like spears.
You've seen it in some of the videos back home and stuff. Sometimes I'll have.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not, actually, that's not for the, is it after, it's after Eid.
Oh, Shawwal Eid?
Shawwal Eid, like that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But so you'll see that a lot of times.
A lot of cultures have something similar to that. Like if you look at the Yemenis, they have like that knife. What
Is
it called again?
The seif?
Is it a
sword?
The sword. They have that. Like, you know, if you look at a lot of cultures, and Yemen's, you see a lot of Hari people mixed with Yemeni.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many of us. Like,
yeah.
You know, and
even Turkish a little bit too. Yeah,
Turkish too. Yeah. You know, like all these places are known to be warrior people, you know?
Yeah.
So that I don't want to say we have those like traits passed on to us, but you know, some of us just need to unlock those traits.
For real though.
You know, still. Like look at you, this guy looks like a statue.
Oh,
This guy looks like a statue.
I'm just going to be smiling the rest of the day.
Okay, stop. We're here for you today, okay?
What do you mean? We're here for each other.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
Well, okay, but like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I actually went through your Instagram because, you know, I had to prep for this interview. Yeah. And I was like, wait, you were like a real bodybuilder. Can you, I need to like, I've never seen a Harari bodybuilder before. So tell me how you went from like playing high school sports and I think in university too, right?
I'm a dropout.
Oh, that's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Kanye was a dropout. Look at how he made it.
Ah, you can remember me, Kanye. Whoa, you're going to have my head out of this building.
I'm not saying you're like, you know, but like, how did you how did you go from that to then all of a sudden like, yeah, okay, now we know Amir's your inspiration in terms of being in the gym somewhat. How did you go to the complete other side of like bodybuilding? Because I feel like that's an extreme level of
dedication
and work. You know, he's made me watch a couple of the vlogs where they eat like plain
chicken, everything.
Plain chicken, and, yeah,
plain everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've done that?
Yo, it's disgusting. I'm gonna be honest with you, coming from like a cultural background,
yeah, like how'd you do it?
It was tough because not tough in the sense like. The work was tough.
Yeah.
Just everything outside of the work. Because, like, coming into the gym, working out, all that stuff is, like...
Yeah, you were already doing that before.
I was already doing that. Like, you know, like, working hard, like, no one could tell me to work hard. It's just, like, the food and the social dynamics, everything about that, like, it has to get restructured or else you'll never be successful.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're not being disciplined in those settings, like I said, also, you won't be successful. But now, like, to actually say, like, how I got into it, it's a crazy journey, honestly. After I was done playing football, I like to think of myself as someone that was like a relatively decent athlete, but like unfortunate things happen, you know, but
like injuries,
you know, like, I guess I don't want to really like talk too much about my grades,
but that's okay.
But no, once I stopped playing football, the pandemic happened. So like, for you guys that don't know, I'm 25, so like 2019 was like my first year like post-secondary. And then after like that first little period of like the first semester, COVID started like bumping off in like the beginning of 2020, right?
Yeah,
so I was just like, oh, I don't really care to go back to school at this point. And that was like that for like a year and a half. So like for a year and a half I'm just like home. I have weights in my garage.
Yeah.
So I'm just like lifting and stuff. My friends are coming over. I'm making content, whatever. And I'm just like, yo, I actually like this stuff. And like, this is the stuff like I was doing playing football anyways. So I was like training. So I was training like my friends, you know?
Okay.
I literally got every single one of my friends into training, you know? And now all of them are doing something sick. Like one of my boys, shout out to you, Jordan Joseph. He's one of the best trainers downtown. Like, he has a social club called Flow State. Damn, you over like 400 members in it.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah. Okay. He's doing his thing. Then I have another boy. Like, all of them work in gym settings.
Yeah.
Okay. Every single one of them.
Cool.
And I'm just like, yo, that's kind of dope. So like I had like a little bit of influence earlier on for these guys to go down this route too, right? All of them were athletes too.
Yeah.
I opened that door. But after like the whole entire thing, after the gym started opening up, I was like, I want to be a personal trainer, but I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't know anybody that was a personal trainer.
Yeah.
But I was just like, let me just make some money too. So I was like working all these odd jobs, like factory work. Like, I worked for an NGO called St. Stephen's as well.
What's an NGO? Okay.
Non-governmental organization.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew one thing that you did. Ah, okay.
You got me.
Oh, okay. Let me hang it still. It's okay. That's a clip. I'll dab myself up. You're good.
I didn't know that's what you were doing.
No, you're good.
Oh, good.
But no, heartbreak. I'm not hurt.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, I did a bunch of different things. And then, alhamdulillah, like in the middle of 2022, I got my certification. And at around the same time, I got to meet like a few bodybuilders from the gym that I went to. Mm-hmm. And like, they knew of me from playing football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I don't want to necessarily say that they were like my older heads per se, mm-hmm. but like, I've seen them around a lot. And they're like, yo, you're getting bigger. You're in the gym a lot mm-hmm. more. This, that, and the fourth. You should think about doing like, you know, like a competition. And I'm like, man, I like powerlifting.
Yeah.
You know, I like getting stronger. I like being explosive.
That was me.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I like being explosive. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, think about it. I thought about it. Mm-hmm. And then I think at the end of 2022, I was like, you know what? Let me try. I'm a big guy. Like, you know, like what's the worst that could happen? I come last place.
Did you?
Foreshadowing.
Oh, no.
You still did it. Okay.
I didn't come last place, but okay. You know, it's mm-hmm. damn near like that. But
yeah.
So I ended up getting a job at Good Life. Mm-hmm. It was like the easiest. It was like the easiest like position to like try to like thrive in bodybuilding.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you're already there.
You're already in the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all I did was like once I got the job at Good Life as a personal trainer, I was literally just like packing like 6 meals a day. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. It's just like chicken rice, potatoes, beef. Like
you yeah, know, you just switch up with some fish.
I mean, like later on, mm-hmm. when I was closer to the show,
yeah,
in 2023, that was September 23. Mm-hmm. I started the diet beginning of 23.
Oh, okay.
So, if, like later on, because like fish has like it's like literally a pure protein. Mm-hmm. Like, there's whitefish,
yeah,
specifically whitefish. So I did strictly like whitefish and like veggies at towards the end, but like doing that, like you're restricting yourself of like nutrients. Mm-hmm. Mm. So I actually got really, really sick.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember this. Yeah.
Like my legs were swelling mm-hmm. up and stuff. Like I was getting like kidney problems. I'm
oh
like,
my God.
Yeah. Like
I think that's the one big misconception people have about bodybuilding mm-hmm. is that it's like you're getting healthier.
Yeah.
But like, you're not. It might actually be the opposite.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, why mm-hmm. didn't you take like vitamins?
I was supplementing. Mm-hmm. Like okay. I was taking everything that you should have, but mm-hmm. it's just like, it's almost like, you're trying to put cologne on a bag of like a bag of SHIT.
Yeah.
Like, you
know? Oh,
like you're on one side you're getting like you're diminishing like what you're supposed to be having, but you're yeah. trying to supplement it with supplements. You know,
like, yeah, they're supposed it to be, can never like compare to the real thing, the real right? Because you're getting fiber and these other things from it that yeah. you might not be getting from that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like exactly that. I got mm-hmm. sick and like the doctor's like, yo, bro, like you need to chill out. Your creatinine's high, your liver mm-hmm. enzymes are high, and I'm like, I don't care. Like you're not gonna tell me. I'm like 5 weeks out. Like I don't care if I die. Like that's literally the mindset.
Yeah.
Cause like I was so deep into it. I'm like, mm-hmm. yo, I'm gonna do this bodybuilding thing. I'm gonna place first. I'm gonna mm-hmm. do this, blah blah blah. Crazy to say that for yeah. the first show place.
No, but yeah, at least you were confident. Like confident, yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do this. I don't care. And then, like, I had, like, this whole entire roadmap of how things were going to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to win. I'm going to possibly get my pro card. Then I'm going to, like, I'm going to bring on so many more clients onto my personal training stuff, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And that's, God humbled me like,
yeah.
like that, you know? God humbled me like that. And, like, yeah. a lot of people feel, like, get humble, like, super quick because, mm-hmm. like, if you don't live your life with two things, humility and gratitude, mm-hmm. when you get an external force to put you in those like situations
yeah.
and feel those two things, it's like it's a crazy character developer. So yeah, I ended up coming sixth in my class. Mm-hmm. It low-key kind of hurt.
Like sixth doesn't sound that, but out of what?
If I'm not winning, I don't care. I don't care to participate.
What? Like
that's the type of mindset.
Yeah,
like, you know, okay. when you're an athlete, that's you always just want to win.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like a winner's mindset.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
it's like if I'm not gonna compete to win, why am I competing anyways? Mm-hmm. You know, so that was like my mindset for like the bodybuilding thing. Now, what you said, like. With like the health problems and stuff, I had to revisit it and like think about like, yo, you actually really got sick. Like, do you truly want to do this again? Mm-hmm. Like for a second round, because like the first time obviously is bad.
Yeah.
You know, like you know what you've been through. You know, like things could possibly go wrong mm-hmm. again. But like to put your body through something like that again, mm-hmm. it's like you're pushing those like markers even like further. Mm-hmm. You know, your threshold like. Gets even like deeper and like you could potentially even like mess your body up even further. So I was just like, man, like I want to have kids, I want to get married like mm-hmm. sometime,
because that stuff does affect
no. Like at some point, you know?
Yeah, because it does affect like even your ability to like when it can make you infertile sometimes. Infertile. Yeah, depending on like how severe you can get.
So it's like irreversible damage.
At least I've seen it happen. It happens more for women, from what I've seen in the bodybuilding world. For men, I don't know if
it I don't know the science behind that for the men.
Yeah,
but
I've heard about it happening a lot for women.
One of my homegirls, she still competes. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't take nothing. She like she's natural and everything, and her hair's falling out. Mm-hmm. She literally competed like 2 months ago.
Yeah, you stop having periods.
Yeah, you stop having periods and everything.
It's I've heard about your
hormones are just like out of here.
Yeah,
because your nutrients are just out of
Nutrients, your body fat. Women need body fat. Mm-hmm. Like, and once you start crashing your levels, it's just now your body doesn't know how to operate.
Yeah,
you know? That's crazy.
And like, I want to know about the dehydration process, because I don't know if you've heard about like
you made me watch that. Remember that guy his like documentary.
Did we?
Yeah, Amir, you make me watch a lot of random things.
Oh, shoot, I forgot about that.
Do you remember, do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
It was in Las Vegas, I think.
It was Chris Bumstead. I made her watch a Chris Bumstead video.
Yeah. He almost died a few times, too.
Yeah,
He has autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
He got from training?
No, so his autoimmune disease was like, I think it was like he just had it in him.
Yeah.
And then I think it was like a precursor, like a genetic precursor. Mm-hmm. And then I guess when the bodybuilding just heightened it. Similarly, what happened to me, it happened to him too.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Yeah, so maybe I should get tested if I have an autoimmune disease.
Inshallah, you don't.
Inshallah, exactly. No, it's not going to work. Actually, we don't believe in sugar. Mm-hmm.
But like, still, when I'm talking about the dehydration process,
she's laughing because we don't believe in sugar. This guy.
But the dehydration process, for people who are listening, is like basically you just don't drink water for days, or is it days, or how many? What is it?
So it's a misconception on dehydration.
What is it?
That's not how it works.
So how do you dehydrate yourself?
So like
you drink salt water?
No. So for like
I'm
gonna show you. It's crazy because so we all have like a baseline of like how much water our body can handle.
Yeah.
Right. So like once you start going beyond that, you get water poisoning. Mm-hmm. Right. You push yourself damn near to that baseline when you're dehydrating. Yeah. So let's say like yours is 5 liters a day. If you go beyond 5 liters, maybe 6 won't do anything to you. 7 may start like messing with your body.
Yeah.
And 8 will like start like shutting your organs down because like everything's being flushed.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's too much water that's like entering your body. Now with the dehydration process, you're water loading. You're trying to find that balance in between like your threshold, your baseline, and that point of no return.
Yeah.
Right. So you're in that middle area. So for like 6 days. 5 days. So during peak week, peak week for 5 days, you're literally loading, getting to that threshold. Mm-hmm. And then for the last 2 days, you don't drink anything.
Oh,
your body flushes all that water because like you're loading above your threshold, right? Yeah. So then your body flushes it out, and then your body just like literally loses like 10, 15 pounds of water in a day or two.
That's where you get all the striations of the muscle.
And that's why you start looking like super grainy and like veins everywhere. It's a nasty process. It's a nasty process.
Mm-hmm. You enjoy doing that?
I don't do it anymore.
No.
You literally feel like you're having like an out of body experience because you have to take down so much water and you're just there like this all the time.
I think the closest feeling you get that is like, you know, in Ramadan when you're like wake up in early morning. I don't know if you do this. I drink a lot of water. And then, like, you just feel like your stomach is about to explode.
No, it definitely feels like that.
It feels like that, right?
It feels like that. And you also, like, you're already, like, your stomach's already, like, small because you've been getting lean, right? So now that you're drinking that much water and, like, you're extending your gut, bro, it's so painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's so painful.
Yeah, that's the thing that scares me the most about, like, the bodybuilding world. It's the peak week, like, having to push your body literally to the limit.
To the limit.
Yeah. Like, I know they even do it in the sports world. It's, it's like when fighting. Yep. Yeah. To get to weight. Like, you'll see these guys, they literally have to be carried to the platform where they're weighing them because of how, like, weak they are. Mm-hmm. But then try dehydrating yourself and going on stage and having to flex your muscles for that many. I don't know how long. How long do you think you were on stage trying to flex?
So there's like multiple times that like in like a 30-minute span where you're on stage. So like I think you have to do like an individual routine, which is like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Then they call you guys back out. Then they start like rotating people around. Mm-hmm. You're flexing, like comparing yourself, and then that period is like maybe like 10 minutes. So maybe like all in all, like the first call, like the first judging period.
Yeah.
Pre-judging. Maybe like 10 to like 12 minutes.
And flexing. I've heard that's like the most exhausting
bro
thing to do.
Just flexing bro. Is exhausting?
Yeah, it is.
Bro, trust me.
Yeah.
Try to hold your muscle like this for like a minute. Just like mm-hmm. squeezing, bro. It hurts.
Yeah. You get start. Do you ever start cramping up too?
I cramped on stage.
Really?
I did. Oh, no. Yeah. And like, so like, you know, when you're hitting like a double bicep or whatever, yeah. like you're lifting your chest up, your arms yeah. up. My lower, so let's say this is like the back of your back, mm-hmm. and like this is my chest was going up. Like when you lean back, mm-hmm. you're squeezing your lower back
yeah.
to hold. Bro, my lower back cramped. Bro, I was like, ah. I'm like on the stage, I'm like, ah. you don't want to show it because yeah. if you show it, you lose points. I'm just like,
yeah, you're trying to smile because you got to get a big smile.
Yeah, it was one mm-hmm. of the worst feelings.
Yeah,
you know,
there's so much that goes into bodybuilding.
Don't stop. Like my eyes have been opened to a world I don't ever want
to
see.
Yeah, that's why I stick to powerlifting.
And now, hey, but you know, I learned a lot of things from bodybuilding. Yeah. You know, I'll say the biggest thing is like being a young guy. You know, mm-hmm. like I did those things when I was young, younger at least.
You're still young.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know,
hey, you can't say another. Okay, we're literally talking before like. Five.
Hey,
six,
we're like we know we're like around the same age.
Oh, chill now. Okay.
Me, I'm years old, as you guys know.
What?
Yeah, you're the one with knee problems. I'm fine.
Oh, you mean physically? Yeah.
Physically old.
Yeah, okay. But my knees are getting better now.
You know, mm-hmm. feet though, it's like it looks younger than mine. Come on.
Really? Okay, no.
Yesterday, someone told me I looked like I was in my early 20s. I said, thank you.
You're like, thank you. Thank I'll you. Take that.
No, you got literally. A brother?
No, they say black.
That's crazy.
Black don't crack.
That's
exactly,
for sure.
I'm just saying.
Come on. Sure. Come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you use any like skincare products?
Of course I do.
What do you use?
Korean skincare, mostly.
Of course, Korean.
It's great though.
Yeah, this stuff is great.
Sunscreen, vitamin C. That's my usual.
Do you use skincare?
Me? Nah, yeah. Water.
Water?
Actually? Warm, wow, your skin's great.
Warm water. Mm-hmm. And after this, like a rag.
That's do you me use too. Like soap?
On my face?
Yeah.
Absolutely none.
Oh, really?
I used to use products.
Yeah.
But like my face used to break out when I used to use products.
Okay, but what products did you use?
I don't know, my sister's.
Yeah.
You know why it broke out? Because you stole.
Oh, just like.
That's why.
Nah, but no, I didn't steal. Like I actually asked her. I was like, yo, what is this for? Can you help me? I was trying to learn. You know, she put me on her. Yo, my sister has like $10,000, $20,000 worth of. I'm like, yo, what are you doing?
No.
You listen, know, like.
But it's chemistry because not every product goes well together. Mm-hmm. So you have to, one, figure out your skin type. Mm-hmm. Then see like what two products, because if you're using like actives, like, you know, it, depending on what type of ingredient you're trying to use, that can cause the breakout. Science.
That's a new word I've learned. Yes. Actives.
Actives.
I don't even know. Actives are okay.
The more you know.
You're doing content creation the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even before I think you started bodybuilding, right? Or did you start right when you started bodybuilding?
I was making content here and there.
Yeah.
But like it was never like really like serious. It was like, I was making like gym content. Like I don't know. I feel like the funniest video I ever made. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was like that. The money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds.
My money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds. I like to see you wiggle wiggle for sure.
Did you make a video like that?
I did. So like there was like that UK guy that was like popping. I can't remember his name.
What? That song does sound familiar.
That, yeah, it was big.
It was, you know? Louis Theroux. Like yeah, he made the remix. Yeah.
That guy. Mm-hmm. And I posted a video, and after I was like, this did pretty decent. And I'm like, maybe I might start making more gym content.
The bug.
That's where I caught the bug. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is kind of funny. This is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Let me keep doing it.
Did your YouTube's career start because you were into like videography, or was it because you just liked posting stuff online, or you just wanted to maybe gather following, show your journey? Like, what was the motivation behind that?
I'm gonna be honest with you guys. All right, this is gonna sound kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So I feel like everybody that's on social media is relatively kind of insane.
Whoa.
Just a little bit.
Whoa. Yeah.
Just a little bit.
You're not wrong.
Just a little bit. But more in a sense, like people need like creative outlets. Mm-hmm. So like, and I feel like if your mind is like constantly wandering and you have a creative outlet, you're capable of like creating some type of art pieces. Mm-hmm. And now it's up to you whether or not like your art piece is actually good, you know? Mm-hmm. So
hey, it's all up to interpretation.
Yeah. Listen.
Oh, no. There's a lot of times I make content, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't post
there
this.
There are things that like to a point are objectively bad, but you know,
we
let it pass because you know they enjoyed doing it. I hope.
Yeah. But there was like a period in time where I started making like questionable content. I'm just like
what?
I don't know if you noticed my page, my Instagram page, but this is a questionable content. This is not like the beginning.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
No, you won't find it because I archived it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you won't find it. Like, I used to post like videos and stuff. Like, obviously, it's like bodybuilding and stuff, but I used to post like me posing and stuff. You know, like I'm just like. Obviously, like, you know, like you have to have some level of aura, you know what I'm saying? And like, it's, and like, obviously we're still Muslim.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like you also have to have like, I'll follow the deen and whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone's on their journey. I'm not like anyone that's watching this. I'm not coming after you.
Yeah.
But like, just for me, it was just like more so like, yo, like, is this like what you want to be known for? You know, is this what you want to be known for? Or do you want to be known for like stuff like halfway there? you know I also
I forgot to I said no, podcast
we're
but I didn't mention
we're
that.
Gonna
okay, we're come to that. You know, and like I was just like, nah, I mean, what happens if my kids see this in the future or whatever, you know? And I'm just like, and that also played another thing, position and like whether or not I want to continue bodybuilding. I'm like, bro, we have to step on stage in underwear and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just
really small one.
Yeah, I grew up in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, in a like, modest household.
Not even just that. Like, I grew up in like with a mindset of, we'll not get into it. Anyways, I think you understand. Yeah, I'm just trying to be PC.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be PC.
Yeah, I can always mute it or like, you know.
Yeah, we see some wild people. Yeah.
It's a little.
Oh, okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what
I'm saying. You see what I'm saying?
Like, okay.
See, that's what I'm trying to be a little PC.
Mm-hmm.
But, and not necessarily in the sense where, like, okay, cool, like you're posting your underwear, or whatever, people are watching you.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, more so, like, that the eyes that it attracts, the people that you see in person that end up, like, talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just got to know the ramifications of, like, what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, experiencing those things, just the real life situations because of what I did.
Yeah.
I used to work downtown. I think you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
I used to work by Bay and Bloor.
Oh.
What's the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
So
I always forget about the audience that those kind of things attract.
Wait, so like, what happened? Tell us your experience.
Honestly, nothing like crazy happened. It was just more so like you get attention from people that you genuinely don't want attention from.
You get some opportunities.
There's some people. There's some. No. Actually,
for
yo,
real.
Yo.
Were you recruited to work somewhere?
Yo, I'm so sorry. This is through because you brought back a crazy memory. Yo, when I was working, because like literally right after I was done my show, there was this dude. He was like super rich. He sold like a wine vineyard, everything. Mm-hmm. Like we're in like Yorkville, right? That's where I used to work. Now comes in, he used to work out in a Sky Dweller. I don't know if you know a Rolex squad.
Okay.
He used to work out in the sweat in it, whatever. He didn't even care.
Yeah.
Like, he was a million, like millions of dollar man. He's like, yeah. But he's one of those people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But like, and he's like, yeah, my boyfriend wants to start making content.
Mm.
Right? And then after he's like, I'm like, all right, cool. That's dope. You know, what is it? YouTube, whatever. He's like, no. OF. No, let me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, OF. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, he has like very beautiful feet.
Oh.
I'm like, yo. And I'm like, huh? I'm like, okay. I'm like, he's like, and after he's like, I seen on social media that you make videos, you make content, whatever. Mm-hmm. And after I'm like, yeah, I do that. And after I do help people out too as well. And after he's like, can you shoot for his feet? I'm like,
what?
I'm like, why are you asking me that? Well, genuinely, I'm like, why are you asking me that? I'm like, he's like, I don't know, because you're good at what you do.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you assuming something about me that I'm not? And he's just like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not my niche. Yeah. That's not what I do.
At that point, your business mind came. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want to ruin any future relationships here.
You know?
That's not what I do, sir.
That's not what I do. But in the back of my head, I'm like, yo, is this the doors that I'm trying to open to for what I'm trying to do? I'm like, oh. Ooh,
You've never heard of Feet Finder before?
Nah. Like, what is that?
What?
Actually, you don't know what Feet Finder is?
It's basically like OF for feet.
Yeah, yeah, you make a lot of money on there. Mm-hmm. So, like, if the dogs are clean, I would just say.
Nah, I play football. My dogs are not clean. My dogs are working. I got
a couple of corn rolls, too. Yeah, not corn rolls. What do they call them?
The corns.
Corn nuts. What do they call those things on your feet?
Corn nuts.
Corn rolls? Not corn rolls. Corn rolls is hair.
They're corns.
They're called corns.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Corns are basically just callus, though, no?
Yeah, it's basically callus on your feet. Yeah. I have a few of those. They might sell more for those. I don't know. You never. Hey. I want to find out.
There might be an audience for it. You never know. Just try it.
Try it.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, as like hypothetically, like if you're just showing your feet, which is not part of your, it's not part of your aura.
But
aura
Amir,
is a part that you cover.
Amir.
You know, and you put it online.
Amir.
It's just your feet.
No, but do you know why people use these pictures? It's a fetish.
It's a fetish. So you're feeding into it.
You know, do you really feel...
I can't control what they're going to do with the content.
You would feel good about yourself knowing that someone is doing God knows what with pictures of your feet.
I bet you guys, there are a lot of people, maybe within our community.
No.
Not the Hadri community, like the general Muslim community. Probably do this because you can be anonymous. It's just your feet. Who's gonna be able to tell it's your feet?
I'm not gonna lie to you. I know a 1-2 Habesha people. They're not Hariri, but like a 1-2 Habesha people that are on those type of sites and that do stuff. And I'm just like
with their feet,
maybe with more than their feet.
Maybe with more than their feet.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And
yeah,
you know, like you see the type of life that they lead, and it's just like money is not worth my soul.
Yeah,
you know, like. Obviously, like, money is good. We need it. We need to thrive in life.
Yeah.
But, like, at what costs?
Yeah.
You know? I'm just like, there's, like, a lot of opportunities I turned down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like.
Like that one you just mentioned.
Yeah, but like, even, like, bigger ones. I'm just like, the sponsorships from certain brands, I'm not going to say. But, man, just, I don't want to align with those type of things, you know?
Yes.
I don't want to work for your company. But, you know, shout out to, inshallah, you guys will see something cool next week.
Okay.
You know, like something.
Will it be coming out before Thursday next week?
I don't know. I literally signed the contract yesterday.
Okay, because we post this on Thursday, so you know because of the, just
I'll link his socials.
You know, we'll wait, so you guys will see. Yeah, exactly.
Thursday is cool to post. That doesn't really.
No, but I mean, so that the audience can go and see what it is you're talking about.
True.
Like it'll be on your own page.
Mm-hmm. If okay,
it'll
you know
be
what?
On my page and the sponsor.
He might
page.
Say here, and I might cut it out if it's not ready for that day.
Yeah,
if you want,
we'll cut. We'll beep it out.
I got a brand sponsorship from something that's called.
Shut up.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Okay.
Allahumma barik.
Yeah. If it comes out before we post this, and you know,
are you doing like a whole photo shoot and stuff too?
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out. See,
that's exciting.
Making moves out here. Yeah.
I know.
Alhamdulillah.
But yeah,
it's very good. See, that makes sense for you.
Yeah,
that's like a very smart partnership.
Because you know, it's athletic wear.
Yeah,
and you know, like I think the main thing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Mo though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really?
Shout out to he didn't connect me with anything, but I feel like me showing his journey,
like
casting it, like it's opening up like a different like realm because I feel like if I wasn't posting. Like that, like helping his journey, and like showing that, yo, like, doesn't matter where you are in life, bro. As long as you're just putting that work.
Yeah.
And that I guess, like, that narrative,
mm-hmm.
also the narrative of, like, my podcast, whatever, just, like, constantly chasing something. Bro, like, it aligns with a lot of, like, brands like that. Because a lot of these brands want to, they want to, like, oh, like, our active wear or our fitness is the one that's going to make you feel good. And when you feel good, you're gonna train hard. When you train hard, you're going to have, like, good returns and blah. You know, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's all about the mindset stuff, right? So I feel like me showing that with Mo.
Mm-hmm. It's, like, a very natural. It feels very natural, at least. It doesn't feel like you're trying to sell someone something. It's just like, you're just showing him working out and you kind of like busting his balls a little bit.
No, but it's inspiring, but funny and like refreshing to watch. It's not like the overly produced personal trainer and their client type
of
content.
What we're talking about for context for people who haven't seen yet is that like recently you've been posting a lot of reels on your Instagram where you're showing one of our other good friends, Mo, his journey, his work, his fitness journey, basically, because you've been training him. And it's been like inspiring for a lot of people, clearly, since kind of reached out for that.
Well, you can't see that.
Oh shoot, my bad. I mean, since I'll be like, yeah.
You just casually dropped.
I got excited. Okay?
I know. It's okay.
But you know, for brands to reach out and actually like support it too, right?
Yeah.
But like before that, I guess you're kind of trying to a bunch of different content. I don't even know if we want to cover that. I saw you like doing streaming, and you're kind of still doing streaming every once in a while, no?
So, my YouTube, like my Subri Shafi YouTube, that page took so many different.
It has
so many different routes.
I've been following. I seen.
Like, if you go to the very first video that's uploaded, I was doing like street interviews. I was like 18. Actually, you know what? I forgot about that, yo.
What?
I don't know why that just came to my brain, but like in 2018, 2019, before like everything, like when I was still like playing football, like I was just like outside, just like making street interviews.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like going up to random people?
Random people. Mm-hmm. And it's still up on my page, on my Subri Shafi.
I remember this.
That was an interesting phase, honestly.
No, because like you're just going up to strangers, asking them questions?
Yeah, just asking them questions, you know? I don't even know.
You actually see that. You see that. I've been downtown a lot recently, and you see that a lot more often.
I have yet to encounter that. Really?
Yeah, you see it a lot now. At least you have to go to the places, right? Like if you go to Queen Street West, or if you go to like
King West,
or even sometimes Ossington. On Bloor, Ossington, those areas, you'll see a lot of content creators there just filming people on the street.
Beware of the meta glasses, because
the meta glasses thing is huge.
My first thing. Every time I interview someone, though, like there was no metagrass. I was like, "Yo, I have these questions I want to ask. You want to be on my interview? Like, you literally have to ask like 100 people to get like five yeses.
Yeah.
Yo, it was like, no.
But it probably builds a lot of character because you get a lot of rejection, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was just more so like a lot of people were aggressive though, because you know, like this is gonna sound crazy. They see me and like three other like black kids. You know, it's like, yo, what the heck? Get away from it. Just, all I want to do is just ask you guys some questions. You know?
You were like, being stereotyped.
Literally. We're like 18-year-olds. Like, you know, we're just, it's summertime. We're just trying to make some fun
But
content.
You're also doing this, like, early, right? This is before this was normalized. People even knew what that was. Because it only recently started getting huge. Like, I think it started getting bigger when people started coming back outside after COVID. IRL streaming and all that. So that's when it became normalized, and people kind of, they didn't expect it, but they, it wasn't so foreign to them at that point. But that back then, you literally one of the first people doing it. So
I wanted to try a thing, but you know, it didn't. I mean, it was honestly like taking off, kind of, but like I stopped. I wouldn't necessarily say 400 or like 1,000 views is a lot, but I was like always, I was like averaging around like 400 to 1,000 views per video back then. Sometimes I look back at it and I'm like, yo, what if I continued doing this and didn't stop?
No, you can't do that.
You know, no, but like, obviously, like, I'm not, I don't feel any like resentment or any like, oh shit, whatever. But I do think sometimes, like, yo, was this my niche back then? Like, would this have been something that I could have done? But like, then also, like, I look back at the type of content, the type of questions I would be asking, I go, like, nah, this is childish.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know what? I think the fact that you've allowed yourself to evolve so many times keeps you relevant. And allows your content to remain fresh. Obviously, like, you probably do have a niche, you just don't realize it. So that's not a bad thing.
Well, I feel like you're finding that now, if we go back to the reels now, where, like, you're showcasing, first off, your personal training style. I don't know if that's your style. Maybe you're just doing that with Mo, because, you know Mo.
Yeah.
But, like,
but there's also the interviews that he does, like, post any sort of, like, event in the, like, East African-ish community.
Anything.
And then with your podcast.
Yep. I just want to, like, I'm sorry to, like, the shameless plug. No. But, yo, huge shout out to Half No 416. Huge shout out to Omzi. You know, like, I said, you and him were, like, two very inspiring people. Like, obviously, when I was younger. And, like, now, even, like, for, like, the last 2 years, because I've been, like after my bodybuilding, like, stuff. Omzi was, like, someone that, like, you know, like, always led a helping hand.
Really?
Always, you know, always. And if I ever needed anything,
it's not surprising, actually. Yeah.
You know, so always, you know. Guy. So shout out to Omzi, man. Shout out to Omzi.
And shout out to Huffno too. Yeah,
we're trying to get him on, but he's shy. So.
Yeah. I try to get him on my podcast.
You too, right?
Yeah, he's just like, man.
Let's just tag team against him.
Yeah, I promise you, we just got, honestly, we all just got to walk up in there.
Yeah,
there's one time where he's just sitting and chilling, just like, you know, like
put a chair down.
Writing some emails to his people.
Yeah,
you just got to take his laptop, close it on him. Now you listen here, all right? You listen attentively.
Or just put a chair next to him. put up the camera real quick and start the interview. It's like, okay, guys, today we're here with
Omar. Nah, honestly, yo, he has, obviously I'm not going to share his stories, but he has some stories. Yeah. And if he's comfortable to like share them, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people that actually get to hear it will take something from it and get inspired. I promise you that, mm-hmm. you know? So shout out to Omzi.
Yeah, and he still has a lot of ideas. Like we were talking even last time, I forget which show it was. Oh yeah, it was actually a show for Luz Marto. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking then with, I call it Omar. Omzi? I didn't know that Omzi was his nickname.
Okay, that's just what I call him.
I'm going to call him Omzi too. Yeah. I was talking to Omzi. And yeah, he's like talking about his future ideas and things mm-hmm. that he has, and like also the inspiration behind Half Note. And yeah, this guy, I can see a lot more in his future that he's going to be doing.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Yeah. And he's out there to support all of us. Like the things he's talking about, he's like, I'm going to support anyone I can because like we want to build this community and I want everyone to win, essentially. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's his mentality. And it's very inspiring. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what Nipsey Hussle says? The highest human act is to inspire. Right. So so why not inspire some young generations to do some cool shit?
For real, though. Right. Yeah. And he still feels like part of our generation. I don't know why.
He's young at heart, right?
Mm. So I don't know. Just that also part of it makes it feel more comfortable to speak to him about like the ideas you have and the things you want to do. Mm. He's out there to support.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So shout out to you, man.
Yeah.
We'll get you on one day.
So we could talk about actually your podcast now, the Halfway There podcast. Mm-hmm. So you've been posting. When did you start the podcast?
December 7th, 2024.
Almost a year.
Wow.
Almost a year.
And like, what was the inspiration behind that?
Like, remember how I said earlier on, like when someone asked me what I do for a living, I say whatever it takes.
Yeah.
So like, you know how like when you do whatever it takes, you're like, you're doing a bunch of different things and like, you know, you're trying things, you fail, you're trying things, you're successful, you're trying things, you may fail again, you know? So I'm just like, yeah, man, I'm always just like doing things and I'm always just like, you know, it's always up and down. Mm-hmm. Like I'll have like months where I'm making a lot of money from what I'm doing. I have months where I'm not making anything. Then I'm making good. You know, it's just it's always up and down.
The life of an entrepreneur, man.
Life of an entrepreneur, you know? And then I'm just like, yo, man, like sooner or later, like I want to like open up my own brick and mortar. So that's inshallah. Like that's going to be like.
So that's the ultimate goal.
I wouldn't necessarily say the only ultimate. It's just
like a shop, like a storefront, like a physical place.
Got it. You know, like obviously the online stuff is cool. Mm-hmm. Like I'm gonna do that like until I can't no more.
Yeah.
But like I want to have like a physical shop where like inshallah, like I'll have my own trainers in there. I'll have like you see the setup.
Yeah.
Inshallah, I want to have like multiple setups like this where people could book and after they can hold their podcast or they can make their content through the space. So obviously it's gonna take like a big investment.
Yeah.
But that's like something I see like later down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But like how the actual podcast, like how like I thought of it, so the very first person that interviewed, so actually let me rephrase this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard of Soft White Underbelly?
Yeah,
that guy, you know how it's like super like his interview,
it's black and white, single person, sometimes single person. Two people,
like the camera's always just on like the that actual subject. Yeah. Right.
Okay, interesting.
So I always wanted to make content like that.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, this is so sick. Like this, like, you know, like getting people's stories, telling people's stories.
Yeah, and like, the people he gets on there are like very, they're like, he'll literally grab like, I don't know the right term to use, like a drug user off the street and interview them. Like it could literally, the person could have literally just taken a hit like a minute ago and he gets them on the chair. And he interviews them. He asks them about their life. How did they get here?
Straight raw.
It's like raw from there. And he does follow up. So he might interview the person this year. And then maybe 3 or 4 months later, maybe a year later, they'll interview him again.
Interesting.
They might be in a better place. Might be in a worse place. But he just gets their story. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially how it goes. Yeah.
So I used to watch him like every episode. Mm-hmm. Every single one. I'm like, yo, I love the art form. I love how he does this, that, and for it. I'm like, this is so sick. And then I got tapped in with a gym owner, a boxing gym owner. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, Dex. His gym is called Body by Dex, by King and something. I can't remember like the actual streets.
Yeah.
Niagara, I think. But anyways, he like, I shot for like a class. Like I did a video shoot for his class. And now he's like, oh, you're pretty decent at doing what you do. What you do. I'm like, yeah, you know, I've been doing this for a little bit. You know, it's always been on and off. I do whatever I could get.
Mm-hmm.
And after I was like, you know, like bro, like, I see all these pictures of you on the wall. Like, you used to be a champion. I'm like, yo, would you ever consider doing an interview? Mm-hmm. I never had the idea of, like, my niche would be, like, business owners.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yeah. I was just like, and he's like, oh, that'd be so dope. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm like, oh, shit, so you actually might want to do an interview with me. Yeah. I was just throwing that out there. And he's like, yeah, can you come back on Monday? Because we shot on that Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, we shot on that Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, because he had a big class of, like, a bunch of corporate people, and mm-hmm. I was shooting for it. And after that, next Monday, I came by early in the morning, and then I had, like, lights set up. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know, it's, like, the very first episode. I had, like, lights set up.
I think I've seen this video, yeah.
Yeah, the black ball guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing it in front of the ring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this, yeah.
And I was going to actually do it black and white, mm-hmm. but, like, I had a feeling, like, later on in the future, mm-hmm. like, when I have, like, a setting like this, I don't want people to go, like, oh, yeah, you bit soft. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like, you know what, let me not do black and white.
Yeah,
fair.
Yeah, but, yeah, so then I did that. I did an interview, and I'm like, this came out pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and he's a business owner. So I sat down on it. I'm like, yo, this is tough. So I'm like, what can I do? Like, how can I, like, think of, like, interviews, or, like, how can I keep it consistent? Like, what's a niche? What's a market? And mm-hmm. I was like baffled. And at that point, like, I can't remember which event it was, mm-hmm. but then I half know there's an event, and I sat down with AK, and AK is like, I was telling AK about, like, the interview I just did with that guy. And he's like, yo, come do an interview with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And after I was like, okay. I'm like, all right, so maybe this is something that could actually happen.
Yeah, kind of naturally just progressed.
And then mm-hmm. he sat down with me. We did an interview. It was so dope. It was mm-hmm. sick.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, so I kind of have a niche now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Business owners.
Mm.
You know, like, people that are from the city specifically.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, I can get probably some other people
mm-hmm.
that aren't from the city. But actually, I did Luz Muerto. Like, right after their show.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to release that on Monday.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to release that on Monday.
Look out for, I guess, technically, it's coming out Thursday, so it'll already be out by then.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually I think that's the only people that I'm going to do from the States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But honestly, like, especially one of those members, they're basically an honorary Toronto member. So, yeah.
And technically, like, podcasting is a business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is a business. But it's not, like, a physical business where, like, you're a barber or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, it's kind of outside of the niche, but also still in the niche. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, all right, you know what? Whatever. We'll still do it.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the only people that are outside of Toronto. But, like, I like to target people or business owners that are from the city. Because mm-hmm. how could like, a youth or, like, someone that's in the city
mm-hmm.
find, like, a certain level of guidance from an American or from someone that's from Australia?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if the person's from Toronto,
mm-hmm.
then that person is, like, a open source. Like, you can just, like, hit them up on social mm-hmm. media, go, can I come by your shop? Can I do this? Can I do, like, you know, like, you can actually get game from them.
Right.
So that's the reason why I chose to do people from Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like an easier time trying to, like, reach them. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, yeah, you know, that's how it started.
Yeah. You know, I've seen it evolve. And every time you're with a new... They're not all small businesses either. Some of them mm-hmm. are like, oh, cool. Like, he got a thing with them. That's really cool. Like an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And no, do you feel like, aside from just telling the story, you're actually looking for inspiration as well?
You know, I don't want to give out my sauce, but, like, a lot of the times when mm-hmm. I'm talking to the business owners,
yeah.
you know, like, because obviously, like, they look at me, they can see that, like, obviously I'm, like, kind of hungry to do what I'm doing. So, like, they don't really know this too, but, like, you know, I'm there to try to pick up some game too.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, like, no, of course, like, as you should, though.
You know, like, I'm there trying to pick up some game.
It reminds me of that TikToker who goes around asking billionaires and millionaires, like, how did you get here? What did you do? What's some advice you can give? And one time he, like, let the camera play for a little bit longer. And immediately after he was done the interview, he's like, okay, so can I get your contact info? Can I, like, figure out what we touch? And half the time, they'll say, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So it's a way of kind of, like,
exactly
putting something out there, but also getting something yourself, right?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I mean, like, when you're doing interviews, even when we have guests on here, like, on one hand, yeah, we want to share their story with our mm-hmm. audience and, you know, have their audience come and see it too. It's like, across, what's it called?
Audiences or... platform
whatever yeah
bases.
You guys know what I'm trying to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But there are a lot of times where whoever we have on is talking and I'm like, wow, I feel so inspired, but mm-hmm. I have to, like, play it cool, like, yeah.
I promise you, that's literally every time. Mm-hmm. You never notice me, I'm just like this with them.
Yeah, there are times where I'm just like, wow, yeah, tell me more. Mm-hmm.
So, like, the last lady I did, like, the Peterland owner, mm-hmm. she thing like she's Afghani. She moved here when she was a kid, and she's like, when she was a kid, yeah, she had like, she like her mom passed away when she was younger. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, she had to. She was like the oldest daughter. She had to like, like literally fend for her family, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she literally had to be like the second mom. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yo, like, and you're still able to do all these different things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, you had a jewelry business when you're younger. You had, You bought a house at 22 or 21, whatever age she said.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, she bought a house at 21 or 22. I'm like, yo, this is crazy, you know? Yeah. Like, she was able to open up PLN, like, and I'm just like, yo, like, this is actually so inspiring, especially for, like, young women, too, you know? Because, like, young women obviously have, like as men, you know, yeah, we have pressures, but, like, women specifically, like, mm-hmm, they get, like, a different type of pressure.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know?
I've seen that for sure, yeah.
And, mm-hmm, like, her being able to, like, do that and, like, be able to be successful and, like, have a happy family and whatever, mm-hmm, is, like, it's super dope.
Yeah, yeah. It's inspiring, too, because you're, like, if she was able to do it, like, yeah, you know, I have all these benefits in life. I've, yeah, kind of, like, had a...
Privileges.
Privileges, yeah. You've had, like, a few more privileges, so, like, I have no excuse. I gotta, yeah, go for it. Yeah,
that's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, shout out to you.
Yeah,
shout out to you, Maria.
Yeah. so that means right now, basically, your world is like videography. Well, you have the Halfway There podcast, but mm-hmm, it seems like the like through line between all of this is that like videography has always been your thing. Mm-hmm. Like, but where did you learn to do videography? Is this something you just picked up over time?
So in high school, I took drama and I took what's that class called? We had where they give you a camera for the whole year. This thing.
Oh.
Camera, what it's called?
Yeah, I know.
Let's we just had call that it class. Photography.
Sure, it's called sure. That.
Yeah,
it's called that. Well, that was like the first time I actually ever had a camera in my hand, mm-hmm, and that was just pretty dope. Honestly, I didn't really think much of it.
Yeah,
just like it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But like after when I bought my, like the first camera I bought was an M100. It's like a $600 or $700 camera. It's like I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. Yeah. And I always,
yeah,
I,
which like, sounds expensive, but when you talk about cameras, like that's not like entry level.
Like, I have a camera that's like 3.5-4 bands. Like, mm-hmm, you know, like,
yeah.
So, and that's still not even like an expensive camera, mm-hmm, you know, like just like there's levels to this.
Yeah.
You know, but when I got my first camera, I'm like, all right, this is coming with me every single where. And I was just, mm-hmm, I was always just making videos. And remember how I said, like, there's obviously, like, phases where I was like, maybe I shouldn't post this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of that in the beginning, too, because, like, you know, some stuff was, mm-hmm, dumb. Sometimes, like, you know, you're a kid, you're saying stupid things on camera.
Yeah.
The camera, so, you know, you're just like, maybe this might slide, but, mm-hmm, this is not good. It's not a good look.
But you're still, mm-hmm, learning by taking video and seeing what you liked about it, what you didn't.
Mm-hmm. Literally. And the drama, like, all these little things and like I could be a rat, like, all these different things, like you learn this in like drama class in, mm-hmm, high school. And I took drama throughout, like up until like grade 11, mm-hmm, grade 12 I was more so I wanted like my extra spares. You know, yeah. I wanted, yeah, my spares, so I was like, I didn't want to be in school for all this like, you know, unnecessary time. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, you know what, I gave up on it. I low-key wish I continued drama, because, mm-hmm, I actually enjoyed it. Like in grade 10 I played a tree in Romeo and Juliet. You know, so like I was the biggest kid, and like I don't know, yeah, if they were being racist or something because I'm brown, but like they put like
that's
a green
crazy. They,
I'm telling
like,
you,
he doesn't need makeup, guys.
Yeah, I don't need me. Literally they put like a, yo, green thing, yeah, on my head. I'm just like swooshing back and forth. You know what I'm saying? But like, mm-hmm, yeah, yo, but I don't know, I wish I continued drama. Like, mm-hmm, I definitely, like, if I had opportunities to like step in front of like a camera and like, mm-hmm, act and stuff, obviously it'd be like a hard time like trying to like develop the skill, but, mm-hmm, like I would never say no unless it's like something crazy, you know?
Yeah,
but I mean, I was gonna say, what's next? That sounds like something you could dive into.
Mm-hmm. Inshallah, you know, never say never.
Yeah,
you
know? And like in this city I feel like there's a lot of opportunity. Like, of course everybody thinks about being a talking, have like a talking role in the camera, but I've heard a lot of people, they like just apply as being an extra.
I was an extra.
See, there you go.
For what?
Dare Me. It's a Netflix show.
Really?
Oh, I've heard, yeah, of that, I think.
Yeah, Dare Me.
See, so like getting in that way, like just being an extra, being in that space, you talk to people, you make friends with people, you're like, oh yeah, this person doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm filming like a small movie, like a low budget movie, whatever. Mm-hmm. Would you like to be this character in it? Or some, you can always find connections that way.
Facts.
So I feel like getting in that way and then, mm-hmm, just doing more and more of that, people see, mm-hmm, your face. Eventually, you kind of, like, just move your way up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you can kind of do it, like, you kind of do like the social media route.
Yeah, there's
where
that
you
too.
Where you like you can make your own stuff. That's kind of cool. And then like when you have some undeniable stuff.
Yeah.
And then like you go like, all right, this guy's kind of undeniable. Let's actually give him an opportunity. If he capitalizes on the opportunity, let's give him more opportunities.
Right.
I don't. This is gonna sound crazy, and I know, like I said, having humility and being grateful is like obviously one of the most important things. But I don't necessarily see myself like doing like low budget stuff. I don't know. I don't know if that sounds.
Oh, you want to go for the big leagues ASAP?
No, not okay. ASAP. Not ASAP necessarily, but like it's just more so like I rather not be associated with something that's like.
Being low budget is not always a bad thing. It could just be considered like an indie film, something that's more.
Yeah, I guess that.
When I say low budget, I mean more like an indie film. That kind
of. Okay. 100%.
I got what you meant. I think it was.
100%. I agree with that. I thought you were talking about like one of those like.
Like low budget horror movies or whatever. Or?
Yeah, you know, like, no. Like one of those. Like,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to associate
myself with that. Is it called The Room or which one's the one that everybody memes about? It's like, I did not hit her. I did not.
I don't know. Like a
Hi, Mark. No.
What are you talking about?
Y'all don't know this scene?
No.
The iconic.
You gotta show us. You gotta show us at
Where's
least.
My phone? Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Press your phone.
Literally right there.
I have a feeling this is a Tubi movie.
No. This is a millionaire guy who like financed his whole movie and made himself the main character. And he rewrote everything and directed it. But it's so the movie is so bad it became a cult classic. Like it had a following just from that to the point where they made a parody movie of that movie. I think it was called The Room.
I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
What movie? What is that
Y'all
on?
Never saw that?
No.
It's called The Room. It's probably, search it up, like search up any like video essays, whatever on it. It's literally, it's unintentionally funny from how bad it is.
Okay.
And there's just, the guy is so popular from that movie that he actually goes to like conventions now. And like just interacts with the fans of the movie.
You get famous over nothing.
Over some weird stuff.
Literally, yeah. It's crazy.
Some weird stuff.
All the listeners don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so what were we talking about? Oh yeah,
he doesn't do low budget films. But you know what? Dream big. No, I respect.
It's not even about dreaming big too. It's just like, you know what they say? Like you're only as good as like the last thing you did.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be known for like a Tubi movie, you know, like in the horror community. Ah, we hit you, like oh, Tubi movie, like what? No.
It is harder to like do things that maybe you aren't exactly proud of. Like not that you're not proud of them, is that like you know the quality isn't there, especially in a community like ours where everything is connected, and then like one person finds out, everyone knows, right?
Facts.
Yeah, so it can be harder to like put yourself out there and do things that make be considered embarrassing.
Yeah,
because you know that once one person in your community knows about it, everyone will know about it. Mm-hmm. It's easier to do that when you're like in a smaller community where you have a family where you literally have one cousin, right? No versus 50
can't
or 100.
Really.
Yeah,
can't really.
Mm-hmm. But like even what you guys were just saying, like for me, like for a long time,
yeah,
I wasn't tapped in with like the horror community.
Yeah, I think the first time you and I connected was literally last December during our live event. I'm like,
you're like, who's this guy?
Who are you? And then he's like, you don't remember me? And I'm like, I know your face, but like, who are you?
Sam.
Our connection was just from the gym. That's
We always stay connected to the gym. Yeah,
and but I haven't seen you since you were a little baby.
Yes, because I was. Okay, no, I don't want to put any smut on my parents, but like you know how it typically gets sometimes when like there's like internal beef happening.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think there was a little bit of that earlier on, especially because like when I was a kid, like we were in it, you know.
Yeah.
And like, around like I was like 10 maybe, I just stopped going to events, all of it, and I maybe went to like one wedding. Like from like 2010 to 2000 like to 2020.
That's crazy.
Like literally one wedding. Like one maybe two.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
Maybe two. I was having to think. Yeah. And that's the only time anyone's ever saw me. Unless you actually saw me in person, like out and about randomly.
Yeah.
You know? And I never really like it was never really on my mind to like preserve that community. But like as I get a little bit older and as I like I'm like thinking about it, I'm like, yo, like we adopt so much of like Western, like I guess standards of living.
Yeah.
You just like kind of like become a robot to like the system.
Yeah.
And you kind of like forget about like your heritage. And like we were obviously, I'm not saying that we have to be like, you know, like societal zealots. in a sense, or like be like outside of the norm, but also like just like maintaining like who you are, like just, you know, many people that are like around our age, mm-hmm. like from the ages of even younger, that don't even know how to speak our language. It's mm-hmm. It's crazy.
I know how to speak a little bit, okay?
Yeah, you see how quickly he came to that defense?
The defense is
a little bit, okay.
Just kidding.
But I understand it mostly. Yeah.
It's just literally mm-hmm. a little effort, because if you think about it, like, mm-hmm. it's the generations that we have, like the kids that we have, mm-hmm. or the kids that they have, like, are they going to like...
Oh, our culture, language, all of it's going to die after our generation.
I have hope. But I have hope.
You have to start practicing. That's the point, you know? And after, I was just like... Maybe I should get a little bit more into it, a little bit with my cousins, a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, all right, let me get tapped in again.
So yeah,
I wouldn't necessarily say like I'm giving 100% effort, but I'm giving a little effort where I do.
Any effort is accepted effort.
We'll take it's a little bit.
You're around a little bit.
A little bit mm-hmm. more than I once was.
I think you being present on social media also helps. I know it does for us too. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel that it has.
Yeah, and also Hafnoa kind of played a huge part in that too, yeah. bringing a lot of us together too.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's also a big, big part of it. Yeah. Right. But
so many faces I hadn't seen in a long time, and I saw Hafnoa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like one thing that Amir and I always talk about is having that third space, and I feel like Hafnoa has become that in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's such a variety of events that people go to. Mostly, like, I feel like a lot of us show up for like the comedy events or, you know,
open mic nights,
like those types of things, the game nights, like mm-hmm. we show up for those, and that's where you can reconnect with people, like
mm-hmm.
so
yeah, it takes time, but you know, we're gonna do it. I have hope
too.
Yeah, you guys are more hopeful than me. I don't
come
know
come on we'll now see.
I don't know, it's just
Dora, you know, we'll
I'm not necessarily on the market just yet. you know, just we're
always on the market until we're married.
You know,
okay?
It's crazy. I went to my cousin's wedding like a month ago.
Yeah. Mm.
And you, as soon as I walked in, people were just staring at me like, "Who's this guy?" And then I walked up to my dad. Oh, Azol, Aligia, mm-hmm. saying, "That's your dad." Blah, what? Mm-hmm. They're just talking to me. I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." And wallahi, I kid you not, there's like three uncles that came up to me and it's like, "So when are you getting married?"
Mm-hmm. Like, the uncle started recruiting now? I thought it was just the moms.
Uncles.
No, uncles always say me saying that too. Actually, yeah, maybe he got it more because I got it more from the moms. The uncles would just make like jokes about it for the most part.
It'll be like jokes as well, but they'll ask you seriously, like, mm-hmm. "Oh, do you have a job?" Like they'll ask you like mm-hmm. they'll ask you like leading questions.
You know why? They're trying to build your resume.
Pre-screening. Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. They're like, "Oh, do you work? Oh, did you go to school? Oh yeah, where'd you go to school? Oh, mm-hmm. this time forth. Oh yeah." Like asking a bunch of like pre-screening questions that are gonna lead to like, "Oh, so when do you want to get married?" Oh mm-hmm. yeah. I'm just like, I didn't come here for this. I didn't come here to get interrogated. Yeah. And then like my auntie, like my cousin's mom came up to me and she's like asking similar questions, mm-hmm. you know, like, "Oh, when's it your turn? You know, your dad wants one of you guys to get married soon, blah, blah, blah." Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest one of five. Why are you asking me?
Exactly. Like, for real though. Yeah.
You know, like, that's my sisters mm-hmm. and my brothers.
Right. Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
You are the youngest out of all your siblings. No, actually, no, you have one younger sister.
No, they're all older.
They're all older?
You know what's weird?
I thought you were in the middle.
No.
I thought you always had a younger sister.
Like, I thought the sisters were younger.
Complex. I have the younger sibling complex.
Really?
I'm not scared to do anything. Like, yeah.
You're like ultimate younger sibling.
Yeah.
Ultimate. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's dangerous. Mm-hmm. That explains why you are the way you are.
Yeah. I'm a little.
Like, and I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment. No,
I take it as a compliment.
It is. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you're fearless.
Mm-hmm. Fear, you know? Like,
yeah.
And shout out to my siblings, you know, like they definitely did some foul stuff to me growing up. as many older.
It's character building.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It was torture.
No, it's character building.
Yeah, it was torture. Shout out to you. Shout
out to torture that built your character.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Don't worry. He locked his sister in the TV console, so it's fine.
Yeah, but she was a baby back then.
So exactly.
Okay.
Character building.
Yeah, she doesn't remember that. He probably remembers all the beatings.
I know. It wasn't, you know, so what they used to
his brothers.
Let me just tell you one thing. So, the, you know, like a, so the, when I was a kid, they used to lay me down in a blanket, and they used to grab both sides.
I know the thing.
They would spin me. No. They, you know how like sometimes you would rock, whatever, because you know?
Yeah.
They would spin me,
yeah.
And then they'd leave me in there for like 5-10 minutes, like, ah, I'm stuck in there, you know? Like, they would spin me like I'm a freaking, no, I'm not going to say the word, but, you know?
That's like, you know,
but that's what it's like having two older brothers, right? Like, you're definitely going to be picked on, especially if you were like, Not significantly. It was like, I think it's like a 5 to 7 year gap.
Oldest is 6, next one's 5.
Yeah, so like they basically grew up together. So they're like, who's this little guy right here?
This guy think he is trying to take our attention from our mom.
Right.
This guy's a new mama's boy. It used to be me, then it was you, then now it's this little guy. Mm-hmm. Let's team up on him.
Was it just the brothers or did your sisters gain?
My sisters were the worst.
Really?
Period. Yeah. As they should.
They're going to be watching this.
Yo, okay, I'm going to give you guys some lore.
Okay.
Let's hear. I'm going to defend them, just letting you know.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Yo, they used to put me in the weirdest outfits when I was a kid.
Oh, that's normal.
No, it's not.
That's so normal.
And, yo,
making him question that identity.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, what do you think I am? Like, what?
I don't know what it is with the girls' obsessions to put makeup on guys.
Yo, so bad.
I don't know what it is.
My mom used to have like 3-inch pumps, 4-inch pumps. They would like wear it. I'm like, okay. I'm little freaking 6-year-old that's 100 pounds, just like a little chunky little beach ball with arms. Mm-hmm. And they're just telling me to little beach ball with arms. They used to tell me to go walk around in heels. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, ironically, when you guys were younger, you were actually like a lot larger. So then when you came, I think that's why a lot of parents are confused because like they're like, I expect you to look like this.
Shut up.
Oh, I just say
cut a lot of jokes when I was a kid, man. From a lot of like the older hurry guys.
Oh too. Yeah. How did they say ruthless?
Huh?
Did they bully you?
Not bully. It wasn't necessarily like they just
because like they'll just say what's on their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what? They still do. I've heard a lot.
what's your most memorable one, if you can remember one?
Someone called me Bone Crusher before. I don't know.
What?
Yeah.
Bone Crusher.
Bone Crusher or. But it's honestly, it's a sick nickname though. When you think
about it. Yeah, honestly, it is. A
like
sick
imagine,
nickname.
Imagine.
I thought it was gonna be worse than that.
No, no, but there's a whole one too. So,
oh, okay. You just want to cue PC again.
PC, okay. PC. You know?
Yeah.
You can say it. We'll bleep it out.
Fat.
Oh. You know what? Of all nicknames, they could have called you on.
Moobs.
Moobs. That's a bad one right there, okay?
That's a bad one still.
I'm sure.
I can progressively get worse.
I'm sure the first thing you started doing in the gym is working on that chest.
Yeah.
Moves. Honestly.
Damn.
And yeah. Just to relate to you, sorry. I used to be made fun for my man boobs too when I was younger by someone's older brother.
It wasn't just the man boobs though.
Huh? What was it? What else was it?
Come on.
I only had the man boobs.
What did we always make fun of you for?
Oh, I know.
My teeth?
No, what the hell? We're not rude.
It was all my big butt.
Yeah.
I promise you that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Foot those good, didn't it?
No, yeah, like,
for real. That's how I was. I like purposely, the first things I worked out on when I started working out was legs and chest.
Oh, chest.
Yeah.
Oh,
because the legs to even out so that the glutes at least look like they meshed it. Yeah,
thinking about it.
Did you have like a Kim K body where you're like skinny?
Yeah. Look like when it got BBL, bro.
She said you look like the character from The Bug's Life.
Really? It was bad. It was bad, man.
Oh.
Oh my god. Yeah. So now I've evened it all out, thankfully.
Yeah.
For the most part. Alhamdulillah.
Oh my. Okay. We're not here to body shame. Okay. It's okay. Yeah.
No, it's cousins. You know, we could just crack some jokes. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to cover?
No, I just want to say, like, can I give, like, a little monologue?
Of course you can.
Give
a
monologue.
All right. Do your thing. All right. For anyone that's, like, feeling, like, down or bad about, like, their situation, no matter what it is, whether it's you're in school and you feel like you're not getting the marks that you want, or if you're, like, working and you feel like you're not getting paid, like, where you're valued, no matter what it is, always have, like, a positive outlook on your situation because, number one, things could always be worse. Mm-hmm. And things could always be better. And as long as you know that there's always going to be better days, because yesterday is the past, tomorrow is going to be it's the future, and you don't control the future. And whatever happens will happen because it's for you. It's not happening to you. And always have like that positive outlook that things will be better. And you are literally halfway there to achieving whatever you want. And I wanted to say shout out to you guys for allowing me to hop on the podcast. And I appreciate you guys for letting me say what I'm saying. And shout out to all you guys for watching.
That was so cute.
Come on.
You know what? For being a 25-year-old borderline Gen Z, I think you are Gen Z, actually.
I'm Gen Z.
Yeah.
I'm like four, I'm like 3 years into it.
Yeah. You're pretty mature. I think because of all the different lives that you've lived, it has made you the well-rounded man that you are today. So I'm glad that we reconnected at the mm-hmm. live show last year.
Yeah.
And this was a long time coming because I feel like back then we were like, I was like, yeah, you had just started your podcast. And I kind of put you in the back of my mind, like mental note, like I'm going to get him on eventually. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad this finally came about because you dropped some gems today. Mm-hmm. We had some good conversations.
And inshallah, we'll have you when you're all the way there.
Wow. Amir.
At least you didn't want to. At least you didn't leave me hanging like her.
Don't make me feel bad.
And with that,
know what to do.
Yeah, you know what to do.
Follow us on all of our platforms: Cousin Connection Pod on TikTok, mm-hmm. on Instagram. Subscribe here because honestly, Amir keeps looking at our analytics, and majority of you guys haven't subscribed yet. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing? Be part of the under the 10K club.
Yeah,
we're mm-hmm. almost there. We're actually a little bit more than halfway there, but
yeah. But we want to be all the way there.
Yeah, we want to be all the way there.
And
so.
then you'll be halfway there to 20K.
Exactly.
And then when you're at 20K, you're halfway there to 40.
Mm-hmm. You know, inshallah, so man. No? We got a lot of moves coming, okay?
Yeah.
But also follow. Your YouTube Shafi. Page is Sebri Shafi, no, still?
No, halfway that's, there, that's right? like my personal, like for, oh, for okay. business and stuff, yeah. is like halfway there.
Yeah. Okay, so also follow halfway there. On Instagram, is it also halfway there?
Instagram, halfway there, slightly. For clips, so yeah, it's halfway mm-hmm. there, but Sebri Shafi.
Okay, so follow Sebri. I'll put it all in the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So follow
the links Sebri will be there.
Follow we'll halfway follow there.
A little plug.
And yeah, subscribe to the channel like she mentioned. But other than that, thanks.
Wait,
for
wait, wait,
oh,
wait.
What?
Pick an emoji.
Oh yeah, pick an emoji. Yeah, pick
they're
an emoji.
Gonna leave a.
But we forgot to reply to. We'll do it on next episode.
We'll read next, like the hamburger one next week.
Should we pick another one? Because yeah. I feel like okay, that's you know, okay. yeah, pick an emoji.
Pick an emoji, whatever you want.
Any emoji.
The winking one.
The winking okay. one? Okay.
That's going to look so funny.
So choose the winking emoji for next week's podcast. We're going to reply to both of them, the hamburger and the winking one. Mm-hmm. So leave that in the comments there.
Let us know if you guys have any like questions for exactly. Sebri. We'll follow up. Maybe mm-hmm. we'll do a future part two. Mm-hmm. You never know.
But other than that, thank you again for watching. Thank you again, Sebri, for coming. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
How do I cut that?
Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.